Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Tuesday, August 11th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news, as starting pitcher Jameson Taillon was placed on the 15-day IL with forearm tendonitis. Any forearm related injury is always a bad sign, and this is extra unfortunate because Taillon was just traded for by the Blue Jays at the deadline, and he was playing for his home team, his home country's team, as Taillon is a Canadian born baseball player playing for the Blue Jays. So unfortunately, he'll head to the IL for at least the next couple of weeks. Simeon Woods Richardson or Matt Waldron could shift from the bullpen to replace Taillon in the rotation, as reliever Chase Lee was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. Next, first baseman Kyle Stowers was placed on the 10-day IL with a hamstring strain. The timeline for Stowers' return from the IL is currently unclear, but with Stowers out, Griffin Conine will take over on the strong side of a first base platoon with Leo Jimenez on the short side, allowing Owen Casey to spend more time at DH, which is a good thing because he's been one of the league's worst defenders in right field. Casey will be on the strong side of a DH platoon with Agustin Ramirez, while Esteury Ruiz mans right field on a full-time basis. Third baseman Graham Pauly was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, reliever Kervin Castro was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow neuritis by the Yankees. Reliever Bradley Hanner was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. He's a 27-year-old righty who at AAA has pitched to a 2.10 ERA with a 1.17 whip, a 29% strikeout rate, and an 11% walk rate. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Blake Snell was activated from the 15-day IL to start versus the Royals. He's missed the past 2.5 months recovering from surgery to remove loose bodies from his elbow. He did the nanoscope procedure, the same one that Tarek Skubal underwent and returned very quickly from. Snell looked great in his return versus the Royals, tossing 6 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking 1 while striking out 10, inducing 15 whiffs with 37% CSW across 84 pitches. And Snell was dominant, pulling off the one and only, the signature Blake Snell blueprint with fastballs upstairs and his secondaries down low. He leaned heavily on that four-seam fastball, and it showed up with nearly 2 extra inches of IVB, which is a good sign moving forward. And I understand why he leaned on it with such good shape. And with the emphasis on fastball, Snell cut back on his slider versus left-handed batters in favor of curveballs. And with this performance here, there's no reason to believe that Snell won't be his classic self the rest of the way, but he'll get an immediate test in Colorado next. If he passes that with flying colors, Snell will be in the auto start tier for the rest of the season. Reliever Charlie Barnes was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And next, starting pitcher Nick Lodolo was activated from the 15-day IL to start on the south side of Chicago. Lodolo missed the past month with a blister on his finger. In his return, he tossed 4 innings, allowing 5 hits and 4 runs, walking nobody while striking out 5, inducing 13 whiffs with 34% CSW across 70 pitches. And as expected, Lodolo struggled with the command of his curveball. It had sub-60% strikes, but it still dominated with 8 whiffs and 46% CSW, and really only his four-seamer struggled. He leaned on the sinker instead of that four-seamer. And the biggest issue for Lodolo here outside of the limited pitch count was a trio of home runs, which has not been an issue for him all year. I think Lodolo will be much better in his next start, and the plenty of whiffs and CSW are a good sign moving forward. 13 whiffs and 34% CSW on 70 pitches is pretty solid, and Lodolo will get a pretty easy matchup versus the Marlins next. Reliever Zach McCambly was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. And in other Reds news, first baseman Michael Toglia was selected from the minors. He is still just 27 years old. At AAA, he batted .273 with 22 homers, a 14% walk rate, and a 135 WRC plus. But it's unclear where Toglia gets into the lineup for the Reds. So right now, he figures to be a bench bat. though he has plenty of power, and he looks to be working on reducing the strikeouts that led to his DFA by the Rockies last year. Next, catcher Adley Rutschman was activated from the 10-day IL after missing nearly a month with wrist inflammation. He will be the Red Sox everyday catcher, shifting Connor Wong to the bench, and catcher Jake Rogers off of the 40-man roster as he was designated for assignment. So Adley Rutschman back in the majors for his debut with the Red Sox. Next, outfielder Zach Veen was recalled from the minors. He's the Rockies' number 7 prospect. He was the 9th overall pick in 2020, but he sort of struggled to establish himself. At AAA, though, this year, he's been amazing. 327 batting average, 24 homers, 18 steals, and a 142 WRC+. He's expected to be on the strong side of a right field platoon with Jordan Beck. And give those numbers in the minors, I'd be giving Zach Veen a chance at least in 15-team leagues, though he could have standard league relevancy, especially playing in Coors as long as he limits the strikeouts. Second baseman Edouard Julien was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And lastly, outfielder Victor Barrichotto was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a month with an oblique strain. Barrichotto will be the Giants' everyday left fielder, forcing Grant McRae to the bench as outfielder Eddie Leonard was designated for assignment in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, starting pitcher Jackson Kent is expected to have his contract selected from the minors today to make his MLB debut versus the Cubs. He will replace Zach Littell in the rotation. Kent is the Nationals' number 8 prospect. He's a 23-year-old southpaw who at AA and AAA pitched to a 3.72 ERA with a 1.12 whip, a 27% strikeout rate, and an 8% walk rate. Kent has a 60-grade changeup, but he throws his fastball in the low 90s, so definitely has some swatch potential if he can locate that fastball, avoid damage on it, and allow that changeup to dominate. In other news, starting pitcher Trey Yesavage underwent surgery to repair his left meniscus. Yesavage is expected to miss the remainder of the regular season, though it's not guaranteed. The Blue Jays did not rule out that Yesavage could return before the end of the season, dependent on how good they play the rest of the way. They are not out of the playoffs just yet, but they are in last place in the AL East, and it seems increasingly unlikely that they're going to make a late season run into the postseason. So I would be surprised if they rush Yesavage back if they're not making it to the playoffs. So right now, I think I'd be dropping Yesavage anywhere, everywhere, because he was already a little bit borderline with his struggles to consistently control his pitches. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Wednesday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We had a full slate of 15 games on Tuesday. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with first baseman Matt Olson, who helped the Braves to a win against the Mets, going 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 2 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. It was his 35th home run of the year, and it traveled 423 feet at 109 miles per hour. And Olson is tied for the MLB lead in home runs with Kyle Schwarber and Yordan Alvarez at 35. He's also second in baseball with 86 runs, and Olson has been on fire since the All-Star break with a 165 WRC plus and 10 long balls, which is tied with Willier Abreu for the most home runs in the second half across baseball. Next, we have third baseman Junior Caminero, who helped the Rays to a win in Sacramento, going 1-for-3 with 2 runs, a home run, 2 runs batted in, and a walk. It was his 35th home run of the year, and it traveled 412 feet at 105 miles per hour. And if you thought I left a name out on the Olson blurb, that's was on purpose, as Caminero is also tied for the MLB lead with 35 home runs with Olson, Yordan Alvarez, and Kyle Schwarber. Caminero is now just 10 home runs shy of the career high 45 he hit last year, and it's crazy what he's doing at his age. Don't forget, he's still only 23 years old, and this is his age 22 season. Caminero is going to have an incredible career if he continues this up. This is a guy who's got the potential to hit 500 home runs at the very least. Next, shortstop Taylor Walls, beside his teammate Junior Caminero, helped the Rays to win in Sacramento, going 2-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in. They were his first 2 home runs of the season. The first one went 387 feet at 98 miles per hour, and the second one went 379 feet at 95 miles per hour. Walls is a glove-first shortstop who has struggled to contribute at the plate not only this year, but throughout his 6-year career. Walls broke his homerless streak on the season with the second multi-homer game of his career, but there's little reason to believe that Walls is going to become an offensive contributor, and he's not somebody that you want to turn to for offensive production, as even with a 216 batting average and a 605 OPS this year, he's overperforming his expected metrics. So he's been lucky to bat 216 with a 605 OPS. I'm going to just blame this performance on the offensive offense inflating properties of the ballpark in Sacramento and avoid walls the rest of the way. Lastly, we've got third baseman Christian Encarnacion Strand, who helped the Orioles to win in Minnesota, going 3-for-4 with a run, a home run, and an RBI and a steal to complete the combo meal. It was his fourth home run and first steal of the season. The home run traveled 460 feet at 109 miles per hour, and it was the furthest hit ball of the day on Tuesday. Christian Encarnacion Strand seems to finally be capitalizing on the potential that made him a top prospect for the Reds a few years ago. The best we've seen from him was when he hit 13 homers in 63 games as a rookie in 2023, but he's blown that out of the water with a much more sustainable profile in 2026. He's running a career-high 135 WRC+, striking out at a career-low 22% rate, walking at a career-high 6% mark, and he's absolutely crushing the ball with a top-tier 20% barrel rate and above-average marks with a 111 mile-per-hour max exit velocity and a 73 mile-per-hour average bat speed. I'd be telling you to pick up Encarnacion Strand everywhere if the Orioles were willing to give him consistent playing time. He's still just 26 years old, so it's not too late for a post-hype breakout, but the Orioles are for some reason prioritizing Coby Mayo and his below-average offensive production over Encarnacion Strand at third base while relying on Tyler O'Neill's average offensive production at DH. I think at some point Encarnacion Strand's going to force the Orioles' hand, and I hope it's soon so we can get a real significant sample size with which to determine if Encarnacion Strand is somebody that we should be targeting as a full season breakout for 2027. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Tuesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Sean Burke, who did all he could, but the White Sox lost to the Reds. He tots 7 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking nobody while striking out 8. He induced 20 whiffs with 37% CSW across 94 pitches, and Burke earned the golden goal by leading baseball with that 20 whiffs to earn the Gallus pole and earn the King Cole by leading baseball with that 37% CSW. Burke had a hiccup last time out in the midst of his insane hot streak, but he bounced right back, tying his season high with 20 whiffs as his slider absolutely dominated with 9 whiffs, 60% CSW, and 90% strikes. Those are bonkers numbers, and it stemmed from pristine command low and away to right-handed batters with that slider, which is surprising given that Burke has been a guy who has an elite fastball, but hasn't really had the secondaries to support. He's just looking for strikes and a way to keep batters away from that fastball. But here we saw the slider turn into a legitimate weapon. If that's something he has moving forward, he's going to be incredible. In concert with the slider, four-seam fastballs landed upstairs and curveballs did work versus left-handed batters. Those pitches combined for 10 whiffs and 67% strikes, and there was no touching Burke on Tuesday. Across his last 10 outings, it's been difficult to touch him at all. He's recorded a 1.60 ERA while striking out a third of the batters he's faced. He's an auto start in Detroit next. Andre Pallante helped the Cardinals to win against the Phillies, tossing 6 shutout innings, allowing 4 hits and 3 walks while striking out 2. He induced 5 whiffs with 21% CSW across 97 pitches, and Pallante survived the strong Phillies offense thanks to a bunch of ground balls and fortunate luck on balls in play. Just 5 whiffs and 2 strikeouts meant opposing batters had no trouble making contact against Pallante, nor did they have trouble reaching base with a trio of walks as Pallante struggled to find the zone with 56%. Overall strikes. 13 outs on 17 balls in play with a 100% strand rate on 7 base runners indicates that Pallante was extremely lucky to get away with 6 shutout frames, and I don't think he'll be as lucky in Cincinnati next. Lastly, we've got Walker Buehler, who helped the Padres to win against the Brewers, tossing 6 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking 2 while striking out 5. He induced 6 whiffs with 23% CSW across 98 pitches. And Buehler was less reliant than Pallante on batted ball luck, but he certainly wasn't overwhelming batters. He was lucky to go 13 for 16 on outs on balls in play, thanks to a ton of weak contact and ground balls, which hasn't been a consistent skill of his throughout his career and not really that much this year. He's struggled to miss bats all year, which is usually an indicator of somebody you want to avoid. He's recorded double-digit whiffs in just a quarter of his 24 starts this season. And Buehler's kitchen sink approach is good enough to make him a 15-team Toby, but nothing more than that. And I would not be looking to stream him in Queens up next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Tuesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily ESP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, JT Brubaker recorded his second save with a perfect ninth as Dylan Smith was unavailable after pitching on back-to-back days and in three of the past four. Kenley Jansen recorded his 490th save and his 14th save of the season as he worked around a run in the ninth inning. Pete Fairbanks pitched a perfect ninth for his 18th save. Jacob Webb had a scoreless four-out save for his eighth save of the year. David Bednar recorded his 27th save with a scoreless ninth. Spencer Miles pitched a scoreless ninth for his first save. And the Orioles are taking it easy on Louis Varland this late in the season. And he'd also pitched four times in the previous 6 days, so they didn't want to push him too much here. Andrew Kittredge pitched a perfect ninth for his sixth save. Emilio Pagan recorded his 14th save with a perfect ninth. Riley O'Brien recorded his 30th save, which is tied for the National League lead with Mason Miller with a perfect ninth. Sammy Natera Jr. recorded his third save with a perfect ninth. And lastly, Jordan Romano pitched a scoreless ninth for his 11th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Raisel Iglesias pitched a perfect ninth with a four-run lead after the Braves tacked on two insurance runs in the eighth to ruin his save chance. And lastly, Grant Taylor allowed an inherited runner to score to blow his fourth save, but otherwise pitched a scoreless eighth and ninth inning, and the White Sox would go on to lose that one in 10 innings. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Wednesday, August 12th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Dustin May versus Robbie Ray. Not only do those last names rhyme and they also rhyme with matchup of the day, but we've got two pitchers pitching for their new clubs. We've seen both of these guys debut for the Brewers and Padres respectively, but it'll be interesting to see guys in new threads squaring off against each other. In terms of probable starters, we've got two guys in the auto starts tier, Zach Wheeler in St. Louis and Drew Rasmussen in Sacramento. Our probably starts tier has seven guys, and our questionable starts tier has eight guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Tyler Molly versus the Mets. He looked great in his Braves debut, and he's throwing a little bit harder. He's got a splitter, he's got a cutter, and the Mets lineup is very easy to take down at the moment, especially without Juan Soto. It's been terrible all season, but it's at its worst state right now, and I think Molly should have no problem against the Mets. I'd also keep an eye out for Eric Lauer versus the Royals. Lauer is not a guy to trust if you're looking for strikeouts. He's also got a little bit of a low ratio floor, but Lauer is somebody who can get you a win because he pitches for the Dodgers, and the Royals lineup is not scary at the moment. If you're looking for pitchers with an opener, Ronel Blanco will have an opener in San Francisco. Adrian Hauser should have an opener versus the Astros, and Mason Black should have an opener for the Royals in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Rays and A's hitters in Sutter Health Park because it's one of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see Drew Rasmussen square off against Jack Perkins in that one. I'd also target Cubs hitters versus Jackson Kent in National Stadium, mostly because it's his MLB debut. The jitters could lead to a disaster there for Kent, so I'll target Cubs hitters against him. And lastly, I'd target Rangers hitters versus George Klaassen in Angel Stadium. Klaassen has a 7.27 ERA and has struggled with his control during his major league career. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. We have just one. Sammy Natera Jr. has pitched on back-to-back days, so I'll target Ben Joyce for save out of the Angels bullpen. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.